Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair. And although we played the Coast Guard marching song Semper Paratus right at the beginning, we're doing things a little bit differently today, and that is because it is Give Big here on the magical Isle of Vashon, where all island organizations which are raising money are given the opportunity to come and talk about their program. And so the one that I'm starting off with today is with Jason Johnson from Vashon Household. And these are exciting times for Vashon Household. So that's Jason, true. Let's go ahead and get started in a smart and seamanlike fashion and talk to us about where the latest developments with Vashon Household, and then we'll talk a little bit about your fundraising needs and activities.
That's great. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate Voice of Vashon. During this period of time every year, it's a huge public service for all of us nonprofits, and just honored to have some time with you today. Again, Jason Johnson, I'm the executive director at Vashon Household. And Vashon Household, since the early 90s, is our local nonprofit housing organization. We currently manage 88 units of rental housing, as well as 38 affordable owned, owner-occupied homes through a community land trust at Sunflower, Rosebellen, and Co-Housing. And I think that, you know, I know I and my board of directors are really proud of the work that Vashon Household has been able to do in this community. We help supply a portfolio of quality, safe, affordable homes for more than 250 islanders. But gosh, we have so much more to do. I'll get into some of that, sort of stark realization that the board and I discussed at our recent spring retreat. Again, just excited to be here, and thanks for having a conversation about housing.
So one of the criticisms that arises by people who live on the magical Isle of Vashon is that the prices of housing are higher than the median or averages for the rest of the Puget Sound area. I know that the house in which I live, that Mary and I bought when we first moved on the island over 20 years ago, has increased in value dramatically. And so one of the things that Vashon Household has taken on as its mission is to mitigate that to some extent so that people who are not at the top of the income pile or income stream are able to get places to live. And as I drive by up here every day from the south end of the island, I go right by your construction site.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about that and how many units are going to be in that and how it's being funded.
Yeah, super. So you're talking about Island Center Homes
at
188th and Vashon Highway.
I am.
It's currently under construction and is construction is going well, and we're scheduled for an on time opening of December of this year, which we're really excited about. After many, many delays with permitting and funds allocation, as well as site prep, to see those five homes, you know, going up, and we're getting ready to, hand out keys. So it's really exciting. So those are 40 units of housing in five homes, and they are a program to serve folks that are at 30% of area median income or lower. We're really wanting to target first veterans. So half of the project will house low-income vets. We're also hoping to house seniors, people with disabilities, people who have experienced homelessness or are currently experiencing homelessness, and folks connected to the behavioral health system. So it's an exciting project that we think really fills a much-needed gap in deeply affordable housing here in this community.
So I am a veteran, But I live in a modified yurt. Actually, it's not a yurt at all. It's actually a real house. But I am very much interested in all programs that are for the benefit of those who have served. And so my question to you, Jason, is how is the selection process worked to make sure that those who are both eligible and really need a place to bunk up? How do you do that?
Yeah, so we just opened our application process in December of 2023. So just a few months ago, we opened up applications for people to get onto our wait list. And that's for all of the 88 existing rental units, as well as the 40 that'll go online at the end of this year. And just an indicator of need is that we have close to 300 people on that wait list. And so, you know, when we opened that wait list, we anticipated getting a influx of applications right out the gate, but we did not anticipate that 300 people. These are individuals, seniors, vets, people living with disabilities, people who are experiencing homelessness, but it's also families with kids. So what we have to do is go through that wait list and try and glean who on our wait list now has military service, who's living with a disability, who is over the age of 62. While 300 people is a lot, especially a lot of people to have on a housing wait list that's only been open for a few months, I know that we're also going to have to do some outreach. I anticipate in the coming months that I am going to go engage with folks in spaces where vets congregate. I want to talk to families, especially families of adult children who have developmental disabilities. I want to engage with other organizations that serve our unhoused population. So there's some outreach that I'm going to have to do to make sure that we're really, you know, touching base with and getting information and hopefully giving housing to the people this project intends to serve.
Do you think that the 300 members on your wait list is not the full number that are out there?
Absolutely not the full number.
Okay.
Those are individuals who, one, knew that our wait list was open, two, had the capacity to complete an application online or come into our office. I encourage anyone listening to this program who is in need of stable, affordable housing, or if you know someone who is in need of stable, affordable housing, to go to our website and complete that application. I know that while that's a big number of people to have contacted us in just a short number of months, it also does not represent the full need. So we encourage people to continue to apply and join our waitlist.
So one of the things that I find particularly appealing about Vashon Household is that it is congruent with the way that we like to think, and in most cases we actually do, live and take care of each other here on the magical Isle of Vashon. And clearly your description of all of this is also consistent with that. My next question for you, though, is in looking ahead for the 4-year, 5-year, whatever the length of time for your strategic plan, do you have a strategic and long-range plan?
We do. So the board of directors of Vashon Household and I just met for our spring retreat last month, and we looked at data We looked at data, two sets of data. One, we wanted to understand the level of poverty here on Vashon Island. We looked at data such as 16% of Vashon households have an income at or below $40,000 a year. We know that 28% of Islanders pay more than 30% of their income toward housing. We know that Vashon experienced a five-year gap where not a single affordable housing project was started between 2017 and 2022. And we know that there's not an occupancy or rental standard here on Vashon that matches Seattle or King County. So we wanted to understand sort of, you know, how tough the financial situation as well as the limited housing is on the island. We also wanted to understand the housing market. And just as you described, you know, your own example of your own home, we've seen that values on Vashon have doubled in the last 10 years. And now the median home will sell for over $850,000. We also know that the average or median rent is more than $3,000 a month. So that data really helped inspire the board of directors to take a bold step and commit to doubling the amount of affordable housing that Vashon household will generate in the next 10 years. And so that ambitious goal is something we're just now beginning to talk about. And boy, we are going to need the community's help if we're going to reach that.
So let's get down to the deck plates.
Yeah.
The deck plates for us today are a goal that Vashon household may well have for Give Big. And if you would be agreeable to announcing your particular goal for the community to step forward, then I would endorse that.
Wonderful. Thank you. Well, thanks again for having me today. As your listeners know, it's Give Big. And we have this is a two-day campaign where nonprofit organizations ask for the community's support. And Vashon Household is asking that the Vashon community today and tomorrow help us generate $12,000 to kickstart a broader campaign to double the amount of affordable housing in this community over the next 10 years. We see the Give Big campaign as a way to really kickstart some engagement that we plan to have with this community over the next year plus. We are in a position where we want to see $1 million roll in from individual donors. And we want that level of support so that we can show the federal government, the state government, our local county government, that this community is behind us developing more affordable housing and will give us the opportunity to purchase land and develop more housing.
One of the things that I frequently, because I've been involved with fundraising on the island for many years and for a number of different organizations, and I remain convicted of the what to me is a fact, and that is that there is a lot of money on this island. And we just need to find it. We need to find the people for whose mattresses they have stuffed it under and to produce a message that will resonate with those people and to get them to share of their particular largesse for island people that are not quite so fortunate.
Yeah.
It is my custom whenever I have an organization on with me to make a small but symbolic donation, which I do right now. And I do that so that everybody
thank you
who comes with me realizes that we don't just sit here in the captain's chair and talk about it.
Yeah.
We put something into the pot. So, Jason, we have all too quickly come to the end of our time. I had a number of other questions, and I await with barely concealed anticipation, to say nothing of unalloyed eagerness, to hear the public pronouncements that Vashon Household is going to make as you open out into this million-dollar campaign. $1 million sounds like a lot of money, and it is.
It is.
But it is certainly reachable here on the magical Isle of Vashon.
I agree.
And, I wish you well, and I not only wish you well, but I am convicted of the idea that everything that you have set as your goals, you're going to reach.
So, thank you so much. Really appreciate the time. Thank you very much. If anyone has any questions about Vashon Household, our organization, our ambitious goals for the future, please visit our website at vashonhousehold.org.
So take 1 minute. I'll give you one more minute.
Oh, wonderful.
One more minute. And you,
what a treat.
And you get to say, without looking at your telephone or without looking at any notes you have, something from the heart that you want to say to Captain Joe's people, because I have people who are listening all over the world, from Singapore on one side of the world to Stockholm on the other.
I will say that I am the product of affordable housing. Raised by a single mom who raised us in a public housing community outside of Denver, Colorado. I know that housing works. Affordable housing that my mother could afford on a single income allowed her, my brother, and I to remain stable, continue our education, and now all three of us are homeowners in careers that we love. And so I know that housing and housing affordability, housing programs, they work. They transform lives. And I know I'm personally grateful for the housing that was provided to me. And I know and can very easily speak on behalf of the 250 people housed by Vashon Household that it makes an impact for their in their lives as well.
So. That's exactly the kind of thing that I wanted to hear from you. So you and I are going to touch fingertips right this very
Thank
minute,
you.
And I wish you well. Take care.
Thank you so much.
So now I have a few minutes before my next guest, which we will talk about whoever the next one is. And a lovely lady has just walked in, and maybe she is the next one at 1 o'clock, at 1300, at two bells of the afternoon watch. So I have a couple of things. First of all, my greetings to all of Captain Joe's people all over the world, and in particular those who grieve, who are grieving for one reason or another. And I bring that up because I had the opportunity on Sunday to go to the memorial service for my friend of over 70 years, Captain Ray Copen. And Ray and I are 2 years apart at the Academy. I've talked about him on this broadcast before. Ray and I are 2 years apart at the Academy, and the two-year gap is a very significant one, because when one enters the Academy and I was 17, and as a fourth classman called a SWAB, that's an appropriate term for somebody just starting out in the Coast Guard military, and you are greeted and then taken in hand by the second class, who are 2 years senior to you. And Ray was in that class. Ray died in March, and his life was one of honor, of dedication and devotion to the oath and the flag, the oath that we all took, the flag that we all served then, and we continue to serve today. But it was also a very poignant time because I got to meet for the first time his daughters and had hoped to meet his wife, but his wife, Iris, is recovering from COVID. Iris is 101, and so COVID recovery comes slow and not so easy. And so at the memorial service, there were a couple of presentations. One of them was from one of his Academy classmates. Now, Ray was a Coast Guard aviator, and his Academy classmate that was giving these remarks was also a Coast Guard aviator called a brown shoe. I'm a black shoe. I'm a ship driver. And I was struck by how we have all aged. It is difficult for me to even reflect on that. But in any case, his classmate got up. He was using a cane. And he worked his way up to the lectern at the in the sanctuary of the church, an Episcopal church, not really high church, sort of medium church. And his first remark was, "I finally made it." Well, Art, you did more than make it. You delivered just absolutely beautiful remarks and remembrances of your classmate. After the ceremony was over, there was a reception. And I was the only one of my academy class that was there. But I had worked with and for Ray several times during our careers. He as an aviator, me as a simple ship captain, a black shoe. And so I took the opportunity to deliver some remarks of my own. Now, you all know, because you've listened to me pontificate myself, that you give me the opportunity and I don't even need a microphone. And so I took the opportunity to tell a couple of stories about Captain Ray Copen that had not ever been disclosed. But they were all of the best kind, because Ray was that kind of a man. He was of the best kind. And not only did he live a long life, but that life always was one lived with dedication, devotion, and honor. I did point out in my remarks that there were certainly characteristics of him that were known only to the family and need not be disclosed in that particular setting, and I got a couple of nods from his two daughters. And I said, well, that may be true, those things may be true, but in my case, of course, my relationship to him was quite different, and it was exactly as I have described. So rest easy, my old friend, a friend of over 70 years. That's a long time. I have two lovely ladies sitting here in front of me. One of them is my dear friend Kate, who is the executive director for Voice of Vashon. We are giving big, are we not, Kate, for Voice of Vashon? Kate's going to say something here to me. I gave her a live mic.
We are here live at the Give Big Hub of Love. This is our, I'm trying to think of how many years we've actually done this.
843.
And our next guest up, Miss Rebecca from Old Goat's Home. You've done it. You did it live on Instagram one year from your farm. Yeah, 4 years. Yeah. So wonderful to see all of our nonprofits coming into the studio and on Zoom, sharing their stories and missions of love. It's just one of my most favorite times of the year is Give Big. And I'm so happy that you're here, Captain Joe, sharing your stories of love as well. Absolutely.
Yes. So we're going to put Rebecca on in a few minutes. And since I know absolutely nothing about your organization, we're going to have some fun with it. So I have one other thing. I have a couple minutes before we are scheduled to start with the Old Goats. I am not one of the Old Goats, by the way. There was one of the aircraft that Captain Copen was aircraft commander for was the HU-16. And, of course, the nickname for that aircraft was the Goat. And Ray was a goat flyer. And because of that, he was deaf. Everybody who ever flew in a goat with the big round engines up over your head, every one of them that I've ever known became deaf at the by the time they became an honored retiree. And Ray was one of those. So the last thing that I have to say is, it's not the last thing that I'm ever going to have to say, but what I have to say before Rebecca and I get started with her old goat story is that... A couple of weeks ago, I had mentioned that I was an honorary Army buddy of Captain Truman O'Brien, and that I had been made an honorary Army buddy because his unit in Vietnam had come and had one of their reunions here, and I had been a part of that reunion, and we had such a good time together, and we had so many common interests and common experiences that I was made an honorary Army buddy. So Truman went off for their what they had proclaimed to be their last reunion a few weeks ago, and he returned with a gift. I had written a letter to them, and I said I regretted that they had decided that this was their last meeting, and I pointed out that my own Vietnam unit, the Coast Guard Cutter Ingham, is not only still in existence, but that we have opened up membership to direct descendants of those who have served in that fine ship. And I would hope that maybe they could figure out a way to do it. Well, I don't know whether they did that, but in return for all of that, they sent me two gifts. And I am using one of them on this very minute. And the unit was the 1st Military Intelligence Battalion, and their motto is, in Latin, Informare Laboramus, translating my rudimentary Latin as a cradle Catholic. I know at least a little bit. It means to inform we labor, or to inform we work. And so I'm using, actually I'm drinking a pretty mediocre cup of coffee out of an absolutely beautiful mug. And the other thing that Truman brought with me was a tradition which has grown up in the military in the last 30, 40 years, and that is the challenge coin. And I am now the owner of not only this beautiful coffee mug from my Army buddies, but also the challenge coin. And the case that came with the challenge coin listed all of the conflicts in which that particular unit. But the backside of it is the Vietnam side, and it lists all of the places in which this particular unit served, Saigon, and I'm going to name them all, because all of us who have served in country are familiar with almost all of these places: Saigon, Binh Hoa, Da Nang, Canto, Phu Bai, Phu Cat, and Nha Trang. Coast Guard people have been in almost all of those places. One of the places, first places that I touched in my tour was in Da Nang, right after Tet of 1968, and was so badly damaged. So I thank to my many thanks to Captain O'Brien for bringing these to me. It is my hope that all of my Army buddies in this particular unit will be able to foregather at least one or two more times, and maybe even think about having the opening membership in the organization to those who are direct descendants. Because these, not only these stories, but the lives of the people who lived all of these events should always be with us in some form and in some way. Now, Rebecca, let's put you on the mic.
G'day.
And g'day. So let's start with who you are and a short but pithy description of the organization that you lead.
Sounds good. I'm Rebecca. I am a New Zealander in America. Been here 8 years, and in 2020 we opened the Old Goats Home and Rescue. Now, it's not for old goats of the community, it's for actual goats of the ruminant kind. We have 373 residents that call OGH home. And of that are rabbits that have been dumped on the island, chickens and roosters that have been dumped on the island, goats that have found themselves without homes, horses, donkeys, sheep, to name a few. Oh, and a turkey.
When you first sat down, mm-hmm. and before you had said anything to me, I did not realize that you were a Kiwi.
Kia ora. Ke te pai.
So it is a special pleasure for me to have a Kiwi sitting next to me, because I have staged out of New Zealand.
Oh, you have?
I have. I'm an icebreaker captain and have gone onto the ice. And the Kiwi base at McMurdo Station is just over the hill from the U.S. base.
Really?
So I have been around Kiwis for a very long time in my life. If we were not going to be talking about your ruminants, yes, ruminants, we could talk about telling some stories about my adventures in New Zealand. But those are stories for another time. I'm delighted that you're here. But
Before
we get into the goat and rabbit part of it, tell me how you came to come to America.
Well, I married my wife now here on the island, and we couldn't take 300 goats to New Zealand.
Mm. Well, that's because there are how many people in New Zealand now? About 4,000, maybe? I mean, 4 million, yes.
I think there's a little over 4 million now.
Okay.
But not far off.
Okay, and how many sheep?
Oh, a lot more.
A lot more sheep.
Lot more.
So. Mm-hmm. So